Because it's the time for another episode of In a Perfect World. And my very special guest today is Magenta, Imagination Healer. Hello, Magenta.
Hello.
It almost sounds like you should have a sock puppet on your arm and we should be like doing children's television.
Most but we're not, definitely.
We're not. We're doing spiritually conscious, galactivating podcasts. That's what we're doing. Now, Magenta, you've taken on the role over the last few years of resuscitating, re-energizing, and perhaps being a bit of a feminine matrix holder for the Evolver Network. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, and there have been several other women helping me with that as well, and men. But I agree that there's been a strong feminine voice and collective voice, really, in the repatterning that we've been doing.
Okay, well, maybe let's just give some context here to people who don't know. What is the Evolver Network?
The Evolver Network is a network of local groups all over the world. The local groups are called Evolver Spores, after mushrooms. And we cohere community in each area that deals with subjects like alternative economic models, permaculture and urban farming, healing and shamanism, and the arts. So we serve to network together the different organizations and individuals that are creating a society that is functional, is healthy for people and the planetary systems, and just is generally works better and is a more loving, creative, liberated way of being together in a good way.
You know, that sounds amazing. Doesn't that just sound like what we all want, or at least a critical mass of us want, is this type of infrastructure that connects us together and helps us, empowers us to live in a sustainable, productive, semi-utopian style?
Yes, and there are many, many, many people working on that together all at the same time. And, you know, Evolver just has a serves a specific niche to be kind of the glue that connects them together. And I feel like we've hit critical mass at this point. There are so many organizations and initiatives, and I think the only missing piece is more people understanding how massive it is. It's like already there. It's just we need to become aware that it's fully possible to just leap over to the system that works, like, right now.
Okay, well, a lot of people talk about this, but what is it that's just there? What is it that's just under the surface of mainstream media that doesn't report on it and promulgates the old paradigm? I mean, a lot of us, you know, and myself included, we all say things like new paradigm, but what is this world that sort of another world is happening coming around the corner?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's quite resilient, for one thing. It's not a mono world like the old paradigm. So it's people developing different ways of providing for each other economically. And so that looks like maybe time banks in some places where people use technology to facilitate just a tracking of service trade so that everyone's time is valued as roughly equal and people aren't dependent on having, you know, the paper frog skin dollars to be able to cover childcare or learn Spanish or have some gardening done. And we can all just provide for each other. There's also a lot being done with local economic models, local currencies, or just people starting to live more cooperatively, starting to do neighborhood childcare, starting to form food cooperatives so that you're buying food locally from a farmer near you and not contributing to, you know, industrial agriculture with all the pesticides and the soil depletion, all that sort of stuff. And that's happening more and more all over the world. And to some extent, economic necessity is driving it, you know, similar to what happened in Cuba and everyone started urban gardening when they were the embargo and they didn't have oil. And I think some people are doing it out of preparation. Like, what if peak oil does happen? What if the economic infrastructure globally collapses? How do we be okay and provide for ourselves? So people all over are rediscovering techniques like rainwater catchment, like I said, permaculture farming, which is working in tune with the natural system so that you don't need extra energy input. But, for example, you can even heat water just by smartly using natural flows. I think it's called passive heating. There's a way to design ponds that actually heat water and you I think you run it under the ground. I forget all the details, but there's like a bazillion practices that people are discovering. As yeah, it's not only out of necessity, but it actually improves quality of life. And a lot of our digitized, industrialized world has us separated from each other, separated from our bodies, and separated from the earth body. And so, you know, just more and more people, their hearts are calling to them, like, I want to live in a different way. And so, really, globally, that's happening together in many, many, many ways.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting. So, tell me, how did Evolver come about then? I mean, originally, I mean, some people, you're the evolver.org, that's your website, .org, and there is the evolver.net. But what are the roots of Evolver? We're saying this new paradigm sort of cusping at the moment. And there's lots of different NGOs that are out there doing different work in, you know, different modalities to help bring in their speciality, the little bits of the puzzle of this new paradigm. But what was the original impetus behind Evolver and where did it come from?
And it's evolvernetwork.org is the nonprofit's URL. I think that it started from Reality Sandwich, the web magazine. People were connecting online, and that's a portal for, you know, exploring plant medicine, exploring consciousness, evolution, maybe political topics and psi phenomenon, all that kind of thing. And people were wanting to connect with each other in person and offline. And so I think that's how Evolver.net started, though it was originally, Evolver was originally a magazine that dealt with, you know, consciousness, evolution, culture, spirituality, permaculture, all of that stuff. And so I don't know which one of those happened first, actually.
Mm. So but that, I guess it's been an iteration now. This is... So I know the Evolver Network in general has been around for a few years. People may be familiar with it, have heard of it. The spores have been around. There's been sort of a growth cycle, and now you seem to be in phase two.
Yes, we're definitely solidly in phase two. You know, it took us 7 years really to build out the local groups, and kind of our first tagline was find the others. And so that's really solidly in place now. I think there are tens of thousands of Evolvers at least. And so now we're ready. Phase two is, you know, growing even more and coming to a new level of cohesion where we're able to act as a global network and more presence and really, really amplify all the solutions that are out there. You know, the intention is like a mycelial network. That's why we're called spores, because mushrooms through their mycelia under the ground can share information and resources with each other. So, you know, as one city finds something that really works, like, hey, we just cohered all of our urban farming people into one big coalition and you can do it too. Here's how. And so that is starting to happen more and more. And we're starting to use media partnerships to really, you know, pump out the solutions that people are looking for as they start to unplug from the quote old paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've talked sort of in broad strokes about some of the different initiatives like permaculture and community, but what are, I guess, some of the things that are, you know, practically being done by Evolver Spores, or what are some of the success stories, as you've been mentioning, of the different spores?
Yeah, I mean, that urban farming coalition that I mentioned is the Evolver Long Beach Spore, which actually calls themselves Shift Long Beach. They partnered with another nonprofit for a few different reasons. In the Bay Area, we have something really exciting going on called Hivemind, which is a quarterly forum for, you know, all of the subject areas I just mentioned, to kind of get everyone in the same room, public common space with each other. And it's kind of a combination of a think tank, Burning Man, church, and like an Evolver version of Maker Faire. So people are just, you know, skill sharing, plugging each other in with different organizations and really having true authentic community dialogue, which I think doesn't happen all that often in a very intersectional and functional and like right now we can implement things space. Other Evolver spores are doing a lot with art and with healing. They'll have like heal-ins where a whole bunch of healers will come into a space together and just, you know, offer their services and really nourish everyone. And also with herbal medicine and nutrition and that sort of thing. Evolver Melbourne in Australia actually has an Evolver lounge that they bring to festivals that has arts and programming and a space for people to hang out in an evolutionary way together. So there's this thing that happens when Evolver people get together where we, I don't know, it's a, like, maybe it's a part of how the network has this magic and telepathy thread or openness to it. And people just, it's awesome what happens. It's like you're maybe four different people will be sitting around and come from a different perspective and really evolve, like evolve our consciousness, evolve our capacity, evolve our awareness together.
That's interesting.
Awesome.
So you have, you know, with the current structure and format of how you're liaising between the different spores and the leaders of each or facilitators of each group, you have your regular online get-togethers, and so you're saying you find there's some type of synergy that happens and a lot of sort of group-mindy sort of overlap?
Yes, definitely, on the local level and on the, you know, we have a monthly sporganizer, that's what we call our local organizers, our sporganizers. We have a monthly call with all of them all over the world, and that's so inspiring for everyone. So yeah, it happens at the local and the global level. And just to fill in one other gap, you know, one of the ways that the network is cohered is once a month we have a theme that it's optional for the spores to do, but often we'll synchronize an event related to that specific theme. So the idea is that we're all exploring the same topic together and can learn together globally with it, you know, the assistance of our online systems and sharing with each other.
I guess that's almost like a reading group when people get together and they read the books separately. They come together and discuss the content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in these type of group dynamics because, as I said, there's lots of different NGOs around, but most of them are centralized and they're working as autonomous, you know, organizations. But here, as you say, even the beautiful language around Evolver, things like spores and sporganizers, I really like it. It's sort of poetic, you know, mythopoetic. And but it's interesting, you know, you have these analogies with, you know, they say with birds and you get a flock of geese or things like that, and like who's leading, you know. And is it a challenge to, and you get that sort of group mind dynamic where there is that sort of gestalt happening within the group as a collective identity, but there's this collection of individuals that are, you know, making that up. How do you approach the role of being, I mean, what do you call yourself? You're the regional coordinator?
I'm technically the executive director of the International Evolver Network, and I'm the director of the local Evolver Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's sort of a formality. It's, you know, we're trying to figure out how to use the systems that and the language that do exist now, because we need to be interfacing with people who are in the older paradigm business world. So it's really helpful for me to use that title, executive director. But in practicality, how we're organized on a global level, our main governing body is a global wisdom council that we're just starting to put in place. We spent like the last 6 months designing a decentralized collective leadership model. And
wow.
That's going to be first made up of 9 local spore organizers that are experienced, who are all over the world. And then 2 outside organizational representatives and Daniel Pinchback, who is one of the co-founders of Evolver. And, you know, they will make the main decisions, like who is hired, who are we going to accept as sponsors to make sure that we're in integrity with who we're representing and, you know, who we're accepting resources from and that sort of thing. And then from there, we have working groups, like we have a grants and sponsorships team, we have a festivals team. We have like the executive team, which is sort of me and some other admin responsibilities. Like there's a spore relations person who's, her name is Jana. She's from Victoria, BC, Canada. And we have like a technical director that's also part of the executive team and so forth.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess usually the thing is how to nurture people within an organization and have a structure that, you know, can facilitate large groups of people, allow conversations and allow ideas to percolate, but still have sort of a command structure that initiates and gets things done. So you have the best of, you know, both the sort of cloud and the rain, I guess, you know, the best of both worlds.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the trick is to make sure they're communicating with one another so that we have the right flow and that, you know, everyone's voice is really heard and responded to.
You know what this reminds me of about, let me think, well, it was in the year 2000 back here in Australia, and we were pretty much at the height at the time of the anti-globalization movement. And I was in a, very briefly had joined this group called AWOL, which was the Autonomous Web of Liberation. And it was just this sort of indie media kids who were really into this idea of decentralized networks and how to facilitate groups, and you have your structure and maybe the talking stick, and they had hand signals to facilitate a conversation so people could vote on things being said in you know, real world sort of situations. And they just sort of invented, or at least maybe appropriated or borrowed, all these customs and all this sort of you know, ways to facilitate groups, because we were having to invent it on the fly. And I guess, you know, a generation or half a generation later, it's the same type of issues of how do we facilitate groups and how do we get the best, you know, from our coming together as minds and as people while still having the output. You know, it's almost like this perennial left and right brain sort of issue. How do we unify them both into an effective tool?
Yeah, we've actually started working with a group from Australia called Dragon Dreaming that I think is to some extent based on Aboriginal leadership methods, or maybe collective decision making. And it's sort of a project management tool designed specifically for nonprofits or other kinds of groups that are working on, you know, planetary, ecological, spiritual, those sorts of issues. And it takes people through like a dreaming, planning, doing, and celebrating process to help create a healthy organizational dynamic, but also acknowledge the kind of interdimensional aspects of the individual being and the collective being, so that people are honored in bringing forth their leadership and skills in whatever realm that is. But there's an allowing for, you know, people having different skill sets and highest ways of offering their, you know, their passion or their capacity and so forth.
Okay, there's a lot of interesting points there. So how do you sort of integrate the Indigenous perspective into what is, I guess, you know, you could call Evolver a Western, you know, modern Western urban, in some senses, adaption?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're trying to be really careful and respectful with that languaging, and that's an ongoing process that we're approaching right now, because I think the former organization was almost leaning toward what's called plastic shamanism, like, you know, white people teaching on the online webinar about Indigenous shamanic practices, and just the whole languaging around it. I think several of the local organizers found that kind of problematic and insulting and like a colonialist mentality, all that sort of thing. And I'm just now becoming more educated myself around how to be in integrity with all that and make sure that people who are living in continuity with their traditional ways are, you know, their voices are directly heard and their needs and so forth.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of what we're cultivating right now is, you know, right relation with that. And I think, you know, I was at Bioneers for the first time finally this last fall, and they have a really beautiful, I don't know what they call it exactly, but they have a few people who lead the Indigenous programming at the event. And let's see, where was I going with that? Oh, they were talking about, someone was talking about that the word Indigenous is kind of like a construct in a way for needed, that's necessary for our time to talk about it in that way. And it's just the awareness of being like rooted in your place and understanding the full dynamics of that, like the spiritual elements of what's going on, you know, making sure that the land around you is cleansed. Like, I kind of think that's one of the things that causes problems globally right now is we've wiped out so many of the cultures who understand that kind of balance on a place of land. And so I think there's a lot of stuck spirits where there's been war or something and people don't understand how to clear the energies. And, you know, obviously we're working with the land in a horrible way with industrial farming and this sort of thing. That's all very out of balance. So I think we have a lot to learn from Indigenous people who remember how to live in balance with the, you know, the other brothers and sisters and people like the tree people, the star people, the air people, the water people, all that sort of thing.
And I think also, you know, quite inherently in some of the systems as well, is that they don't have to be the same type of models that we apply to the groups that they run, or, you know, I'm thinking more that circle dynamics where you have, you know, talking circles or peace circles or things which stop and listen to every individual and have different sort of dynamics than the West has had in the past of how to run organizations or how to achieve consensus within a community, you know, and to move forward and things like that would be really great to build into the foundations of Evolva.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. All right, so you mentioned something else. You mentioned, you know, a word like interdimensional beings. So, you know, there's aspects where people can probably very dynamically relate to things like food security and community building and permaculture and alternative economies. How does it go when you're reaching out to people to become part of Evolva, or if they haven't encountered things like that spiritual aspect of?
I mean, I may have a unique experience because I'm mostly in the Bay Area, where that sort of understanding is quite common, or more common than it would be in the Midwest or something. It's an interesting cultural thing because we're starting to have more spores in other countries as well.
Mm-hmm, like
where, for example, we have the new spore in Bangkok, Thailand.
Wow.
Where there is some continuity. You know, I don't know that much about that place, but there is some continuity with traditional healers and medicine, and that sort of thing is still going there. So there's an acknowledgement of, I want to use the phrase the realm stack, but I'm sure that's not how it's described there. And it's really depends on location. Like, some of these countries have a tricky time, including talking about psychedelics or plant medicine, because that their governments are much more restrictive and crack down on anything along those lines. But I guess in my experience, a lot of people come to Evolva because they're starting to see that stuff, or, I mean, that stuff being like interdimensional beings or auras or spirituality. And I think that Evolva tends to hold a non-denominational space for that awareness to emerge. We're not too heavy on languaging it in any particular way.
Mm.
So I think that that is welcoming for people to express their experience, but not fall into, I don't know, like a cultish way of thinking about it, and can maintain their like direct connection with it without necessarily needing to label it any one way or the other, but yet be embraced and supported in, you know, what to many people is a new reality that they're experiencing. I think more and more people are starting to break through to like a remembering of our quote paranormal or extrasensory capacity. And so Evolva is a good connection point for people around all that.
Do you find that there's cultural differences between the different global Evolva spores? And what are some of the different areas? You mentioned Bangkok, but what are some of the other global spores that exist?
We have a new spore in Guadalajara that's doing a lot with conscious business and sustainable business. I'm so excited to learn from them. There are several spores in Australia. There's one in Sydney, one in Melbourne, and I think there's one... Is the Sunshine Coast a different place than those, or is that
Melbourne? Yeah, there is a Sunshine Coast. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, yeah.
There's several in Canada, Toronto, Calgary,
Vancouver,
British Columbia, Victoria. There's so far one spore in Vienna, Austria, but it's not even really a spore. That's we actually employ... we don't know what to call her. We've been calling her a shaman, but a person from Vienna who is able to see the interdimensional aspect of like individuals and of our group kind of matrix and
Oh, really? Hello.
hold space for us. That's been incredible in our healing process, actually, because we've been holding regular healing circles that we're going to start opening up to the public.
But does she vet all your top end, you know, management in a spiritual sense? She has a bit of a look
yeah,
in.
Yeah, she's in a way. Yeah,
I
and
love
kind
it.
of if there's a problem, we're like, hey, Susan, can you look at this and tell us what you're reading there? Like, what are you seeing? What needs to be addressed? And she's usually spot on with, like,
Wow, that's
I don't know,
interesting.
what kind of core traumas people are bringing to the table, or, you know, what dynamic is off in the organization.
You know, just as you were talking about some of the different sports here, I was wondering, you know, it's probably because what we're building, what you're building here, and what the community of Evolver is building here is, well, it's a community, and it's almost like a web. You know, it's another web, it's another frequency to connect people across the planet in their similarities and their differences. But it's like in a macro organism of, say, the human body, or a galactic ecosystem, or a planetary ecosystem. There are different regions of biodiversity, and we shouldn't expect every place to be the same. So I guess it's probably going to be similar with the spores, that, as you said, one spore might bring business acumen and have expertise to understand what they've been doing locally with this, and another spore might bring permaculture information or what they've been doing, and then you can trade the information. But it'd be really interesting to see as the network expands where the specialities are and what the flavors are.
Yeah, exactly. I often think about this in terms of the, I don't know, transformational festival culture too. In that, that's another one of these cohering webs that seems to iterate in different places around the world. And I almost sometimes wonder if we'll start to see, just in a similar way as, you know, a lot of these peoples have unfortunately been wiped out, but it, you know, different tribal cultures' expressions, just their dress, their arts, their spiritual practices are so beautiful and unique and powerful and differentiated. And I almost wonder if we'll start finding our way back to that and finding, you know, there's kind of this mono design of a city that's kind of stultifying, I think, for a lot of people. And I wonder if that will also start to, you know, reverse its way back to more differentiation, more, instead of having, you know, suburbia with its strip malls and that sort of thing. There's kind of endless limits once we reconnect with our creative capacity to be with one another.
And connect with the land. In my experience, it seems that the land, or the morphic sort of resonance of the land, shapes the people, you know. And you know, Australia is a very good example where you have people who, you know, white Australian settlers who have lived on the land for a long time, and to some degrees, you know, even their language slows down, and it's like their consciousness is shaped by the environment, and they become very similar to the, you know, Aboriginal Indigenous people of Australia in terms of, I guess, vibration and language and what they're, you know, how they feel. It feels like they've been shaped by the land itself. So, you know, as different people populate different regions of the globe, I think there's different type of climates and conditions and sort of morphic fields that impact upon them. So you get those different cultural archetypes, yeah.
Totally.
Very interesting. Okay. And so what were some of the other main cities globally that you were on networks of the spores of Evolver?
Yeah, Europe is starting to activate a little bit more. We're cultivating a spore in Budapest, Hungary, and one in London. I think there's one in Ireland. I forget where exactly. And somewhere in Scotland. I also forget where. Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, yeah. So is Evolver like a non-denominational organization in the sense that you can belong to, you know, another organization that might have a similar type of new paradigm, you know, trajectory? But do you think that there's room for Evolver as it branches out across the world? It's not stepping on toes. It can be complementary.
Oh yeah, it's very much designed to be. You know, this loops in with your last question as well. Like, our current tagline is building community for the new planetary culture. But the thing is, it's not like it's this monoculture. It's autonomous development in each of these places. So it's totally up to the local group what that looks like. And it's, you know, really what we're doing, the Sporganizers, is showing up in service to the local society. And so it's almost like shamanism on a city level. So that looks like what it needs to look like in every city. And so that can be as small scale or large scale, that can be as interwoven with existing initiatives or developing its own unique niche in each city. And the ethics that we're all coming at it with is very non-competitive, very collaborative, very symbiotic. So we try to show up in a way that is really serves the community there, and yeah, it's unique in every situation.
You were talking just a bit earlier about transformative or conscious festivals, but I did see online very recently you were posting, you know, you're challenging this idea of transformative conscious festivals and how much they're just, I don't know, a hedonistic sort of celebration of excess of mainstream sort of Western culture. And, you know, you're not the only one. I guess as they've risen to prominence over the years, there's also been a bit of a backlash against them, or feedback at least, constructive criticism from people that were within that culture who are sort of concerned about where that festival culture is going. Did you want to elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, I always have to like hold back my grumpiness.
Don't hold back now, Magenta. Let it loose.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of issues with the way festival culture is operating. And to some extent, I think it's just an indicator that it's time for festivals to differentiate more.
From what? And, like a festival versus a party, you mean?
Yeah, and there's, I mean, you have kind of these things that are being sold to people as transformational festivals, which is, in my opinion, bringing a club scene out into the forest. So you have, like, this unz, it's omnipresent unz, 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 where you can't hear nature, but you're told you're going to a festival where it's all about reconnecting with it's kind of disgusting. It's like if you're told you're being reconnected with these like spiritual traditions and ways of being, and in a way it's like unity consciousness is really strong at these things, and I think that's really valuable for people to experience. But I think it's dangerous when you have, it's only this like galactic unity thing. There's no grounding. It's all robot sounds. A lot of these festivals, I mean, granted, there's lots of different kinds of festivals, right? There's also like a reggae festival or a world music festival or a festival that's more like a convergence and where people are all doing permaculture or more like a conference. Mm. So this is all a spectrum, but there are certain types of festivals that I have a hard time with where it's a lot of raver music. You have kids like popping acid and X and G and H or whatever number letter things without any kind of awareness, no training whatsoever of like, maybe especially if there's 6,000 of you doing this at the same time, you're opening some serious like interdimensional wormhole stuff, and no one is tending to what you are letting in. And I've just seen a lot of people walking around like totally spun out by these things, like not only dropping all of their cash and resources all summer on partying because they're sold that this is this transformational experience they're looking for, but they'll like get tripped into some kind of ego caricature thing because they're in such a vulnerable state, in not a bad way, but like in a very altered la-la world environment, and there's not enough work being done to connect that healing back in with like quote default world or communities. There's no work being done to honor and respect and give back to the land that these celebrations are happening on, and it's a lot of wasted resources in my opinion, whereas these things could be happening on places of land where, you know, we build temples and we come back to those temples. We don't tear them down, and that those vibrations and healing can be anchored in the land, and we can start to, you know, rebuild and nourish those layers of relationship again. I could go on and on and on.
No, look, I think it's really valuable to have these type of discussions, and I've talked to a few people, you know, Graham St. John, who's an anthropologist who works with global transculture, and Charles Shaw, you know, very recently as well, in the last 6 months or so, mm-hmm. We were talking about this as well, and he's sort of a, you know, critic online. I remember seeing his post where it's like, you know, a festival would just to be about to finish, and it'll be like, watch out, here comes all the adjectives, and it'll be like epic, awesome, and then, you know, within hours you'll see exactly all that. But it's for me, the thing is, it's like festivals are almost a canvas and a reflection of what we want from the larger culture as well. We want community, we want to come together, we want to celebrate, we want to learn, we want to have fun, we want to give back, you know. And so, you know, this is what I guess has been touted for a while, is that these things can be transformational, you can learn, you can connect with the others, but they're still sort of embedded within this materialistic type of vibe. They've got headline acts, it's the cult of the DJ, it's, you know, it's selling tickets. And, you know, traditionally, or at least maybe here in Australia, you know, Indigenous people are given a nod to, they might do an opening ceremony and a closing ceremony, and that might be the last you'll see of them. You know, yeah. And it's like, I talk with Sobe Wing about this as well, about how to integrate, you know, different aspects of this party culture or festival culture, and how to make it real, and how to reorientate it back to what the people need. And I guess it's worth continuing to have these conversations, because I think within this environment, they're like little petri dishes for the future, that we can come together outside our normal zones, and we can have what the Australian Aborigines here call corroborees, you know, where we're intertribally, we're coming together. But it does need that guidance, and it does need that support, just like I guess you're doing with Evolver Online.
Yeah, and I'm actually I recently posted something to my Facebook, which I got like so many responses to. I was like, okay, this is something that a lot of people are feeling they want action around, is this festivals, you know, evolution of festivals, next level festivals. Those are some of the things I'm calling it. But I think I'm going to start a Facebook group so that people have I don't know if I'll call it sustainable festival or something. I know Facebook kind of blows in some way. We all want a better collaboration tool. And that's another topic, but, I think that, yeah, it's there's enough gravity of people wanting to take things in a different direction, in multiple different directions, that it's just a matter of organizing each other. Now, there are some festivals who are already doing it. Geo Paradise down in, or somewhere in Central America, Panama, I think, they're doing a great job. Tribal Convergence is working toward festivals that are more like leadership retreats and trainings. The Evolver Network also wants to do a yearly festival. We have a space in Joshua Tree we can work out of. We're about a year away. There's a production crew that we can ally with, and a lot of us have production experience as well. And I have this whole outline online of like what a next level festival would look like, and the different kinds of music that could really, you know, because there's a lot of trippy music that's way trippier than what gets played at these festivals. We can take each other way farther out. And then, you know, taking time to turn the music off and listen to the land around you, maybe take people hikes, you know, or there's things like a digital detox retreat that's starting to happen in the Bay. You know, it's like everyone is just tech, everything. Everyone's on their computers all the time over here. And so those where you, you know, take people out of the digital world and just plug in with the electromagnetics of nature and really re-template yourself with that. You know, of course, that's happening with people working with ayahuasca down in Peru as well. So all of these things are medicine, and I think we're learning to be medicine people again, and all reconnect with that authentically in a way that, you know, earlier times in civilization was quite normal.
Mm. I guess then what you're building with Evolver is a digital network that unifies outside the body, you know, when you might have people all across the world, but then can share the learnings and experiences and organize physical get-togethers to continue that growth and that learning, you know, on the physical plan.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty cool. So just trying to think then, so are you launching a Kickstarter campaign? Are you doing a fundraising campaign to help facilitate the evolution forward of this second wave of Evolver?
Yeah, it's actually going to be an Indiegogo campaign, and mm-hmm. we're just finishing up the video and the campaign text for it right now so we get our messaging right. And that will be launching, I think, by the end of March, maybe April 1st. And yeah, like I said, we spent this last 6 months designing the appropriate collective structure for us to really take this to the next level, activate all the partnerships with the local, you know, all the web, the network of networks that Evolver is, and really launch this presence. You know, hopefully the Evolver network in this next phase can be a really strong presence of, you know, showing how big this kind of multi-movement for creating a more sustainable, love-based society really is all over the world. And yeah, we're reaching out to our community to ask for some help to oomph us into that next stage and bring it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's probably very difficult to ever get statistics right or demographics, but you know, from your experience reaching out with Evolver to existing NGOs and other communities and the growth of the organization, how big do you think it is?
I think that I'm estimating with this campaign, we're going to reach at least 500,000 people.
Wow.
I think that it's potentially much bigger than that. And I think that's part of what this next phase is, you know, getting clear on how big this thing is, because I think it's much bigger than anyone is really aware of. And because now we're at this level of being able to coordinate better as a global network, I think that's going to start to be more clear, and that's going to exponentially help all of these organizations that we're connected with. And it's just like a ripple that's going to, you know, go out and come back in and rejuvenate everyone. You know, the more we know about each other, the more we know we're not alone, the more we know we're not powerless, the more we know even within our just community around us, we can create something that works and take action and don't have to wait for like higher powers or something to do something that's right. And so I think there's a, you know, from the bottom up that's happening right now all across the world for every reason. And that's massive. And whether Evolver directly touches that or vicariously, you know, that's another, almost like another ring of, I'm sure, millions of people at this point who are on the same, you know, we all want the same thing. So let's sing with our hearts together and hear each other again.
So who are some of the other partners that you're partnering with? Are there existing NGOs or community groups or people, you know, that we might know of?
Yeah, I mean, there's two layers of that. There's that kind of international layer of players that are also, you know, global or national and that kind of thing. And then there's, in each city, people have their own local, you know, groups that are acting specifically locally. So some of the larger national ones are Bioneers, Shareable.net, which is a web magazine for all things share economy. Reality Sandwich, obviously, the web magazine, we have an Evolver Network page on it. And that is reaching, I think, 160,000 unique people per month and growing quickly. Who else are we partnered with? The Electronic Frontier Foundation, which does digital rights, copyright mm-hmm. rights, free, you know, making sure that the internet is not censored.
So
the Buckminster Fuller Institute is another group that we work with. Okay. City Repair, which is based out of Portland, and they do amazing things with like neighborhood child care, putting up bio swales in the street. They have actually free reign by their mayor to build any structure they want. The mayor's like, you're doing an awesome job. I'm really busy. I don't have time to do this. Like, install bike racks wherever you want, put up bus shelters, whatever you guys want to build. You're doing a good job. Just do it.
Wow. And so with this outreach to existing NGOs and to, you know, incorporating more people as they come on board with the spores, what are some of the best techniques you've come across, or some of the more evolutionary techniques, or, you know, maybe even relearning old ways of facilitating groups, and what's Evolver doing right, you know, with it all?
Do you mean specifically on an organization and communication level, as
yeah,
opposed
on a structural level of how to do it?
Yeah.
Do it, it's not an old way of doing it, not like a corporate dominated hierarchy. Like, what are you doing to facilitate this network? Because it's a network, isn't it?
Yeah, I think relationship building is one of the primary things. You know, having authentic relationships with the other organizers. And asking them, hey, what's going on with you? What do you need right now? What are you focusing on that is, you know, the service that you're providing? And how can we, you know, I guess the old paradigm language around it is match you with clients, or, you know, how can I work with the resources you have, and I will offer you the resources I have, and sort of that synergistic matching. And I think as more organizations start to come into creation or move toward, you know, operating in a way that is in integrity and truly of public benefit, the more that it's just win-win-win for everybody. And I think, you know, Evolver is certainly not the organization that is coming from this mindset. And what's happening is more the visionary groups, I think, that have been sort of operating outside of the map of the dominant paradigm and maybe been underfunded, maybe not had the business skills because they've been really in visionary, you know, construction space. Those are starting to plug in back now. You know, people are picking up the business skills. The business world is shifting so that their money is going toward things. It is now more profitable to, you know, do a business that is in integrity, that works with the flows of nature and is good for people's souls and this sort of thing. And the more that happens, the more, this model that Evolver is, you know, one example of many of doing, of working in a synergistic way, working with a more shared ethics of, I don't know what the language around this is, like with a B, maybe it's like triple bottom line or something, where like people,
yeah,
planet,
yeah,
and profit, that sort of stuff.
You know, I saw a really wonderful essay by Mark Healy on Reality Sandwich recently, you know, saying that sort of Revolution 2.0 has failed and the 3.0 sort of version is, what do we need to do? And we sort of need to work on ourselves and become spiritual activists and to not sort of, you know, rely upon the, I guess, the momentum of history, which is shaped by so many outside forces, but to really pull together, you know, what we're evolving through ourselves personally and then collectively, and use that as a way to evolve forward. And then I've seen so many different posts over the last few months by Russell Brand, who's also sort of calling for planetary revolution. I wonder if you have any thoughts on those two gentlemen and maybe ways we can incorporate this this feeling of revolution and dash transformation that's happening in the culture at the moment.
Yeah, I haven't been following Russell Brand too much recently.
He's writing a book, apparently. He's gonna outline the whole thing of how to do the planetary revolution. It's interesting because there's two different tacks of that. Where Russell Brand's, you know, centralized celebrity figure who's calling for revolution from within the Hollywood paradigm, and the, you know, as a very rich individual, and he's obviously going to be putting his money where his mouth is. But he's catalyzing so many people within the mainstream to feel this energy of revolution. And then I'm wondering where Mark Healy's actually, you know, going forward and putting together, I guess, more practical steps we could take as spiritual warriors as well.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, I'm really good friends with Mark. We've been actually developing a media business together for a little while here, using video to share all these practices and monkey wrench the system a little bit in a galactic way. I mean, what you're saying about both of them with the instilling that inner spiritual awareness and political awareness and that sort of thing, I think is a really good step, because I think that one problem on the new age front is like this spiritualism where you check out from society, you know, don't go to your yoga retreats, take care, heal yourself, and it's kind of doesn't address the collective. And you know, I think that's part of Western culture too, is like this ego, endless ego thing. And I think what little I know of both of those two men's approach is, you know, like this responsibility to be present in yourself and take radical responsibility, but also really hold strong space for the collective to, you know, also come to this level of awareness and presence with each other. And I think they're both doing it in a really great way that's inspiring and provocative and not pulling punches.
Mm. Yeah, I guess what they're both tapping into is this very present energy of transformation within the culture, where everyone, when I say everyone, a lot of people are just recognizing that the old paradigm's not serving, it's not sustainable, it's enslaving, systems are breaking down, and so there is this evolutionary urge for transformation. So you're in a very good sort of strategic space, Evolver, to be able to capitalize on that and ride that wave.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing better that we could do with our lives. I think we're all kind of like gung-ho nuts about it. We're like, yeah, let's do this. this is awesome.
All right. Well, on that wave of energy, how can people slot in? How can they help? How can they join Evolver and be part of this this transformation of culture?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing to do is look and see if there's a spore in your city. If you look on our website on evolvernetwork.org, there's a listing of all the local spores, and there's a map, and you can see. And if there's not a city in your town, you can start one. The process is pretty straightforward, and that's all listed on the website as well. And if you have questions, there's a contact there. And if you want to connect with Evolver community but don't want to take the step of actually organizing something in your town, there are ways to stay in touch with us online. We have a Facebook page called the Evolver Network. There's also a Facebook group called Evolver and Visionary Culture that hosts a little bit more discussion. And then on Reality Sandwich, there is the community forum. And Reality Sandwich isn't entirely the Evolver Network demographic, but that is also a space to dialogue and connect with like-minded people. And you know, through following the Evolver Network's website, we have a newsletter that you can sign up for as well on our website, or the Facebook page are posts about the practices and techniques and, you know, all the awesome stuff that's going on along this multi-movement. You can, you know, share that with your community. You can maybe start to research in your community what sort of organizations that you would enjoy plugging in with. Like, do you want to plant trees or learn about gardening, or you know, explore shamanic healing or something like that, and so you can really take inspiration in any way that serves you from what we're doing and run with it and make the connections that light you up and evolve your consciousness and evolve your being toward greater health and creativity.
Great. You know, Magenta, the only thing I haven't asked is, like, who are you and how did you end up as part of this Evolver Network?
Well, I think I ended up as part of it because of you. I don't know if I've told you this story yet. I'm an artist and activist and a singer and a channel kind of person and a brainiac, systems thinker, information designer kind of person. And I'm a plant medicine healer as well, but I don't practice holding ceremony because I'm so high profile. It's just the plants are asking me to be really vocal about legalization, and so I can't really mix those two, which kind of sucks for me because I end up channeling that kind of container holding as a medicine person who would otherwise be, you know, like holding a small circle of people drinking medicine and puking their guts out or, you know, shrooming or whatever they're doing. But I end up doing that on like a global scale without the medicine's direct help, which is really overwhelming. Wow. Anyway, I ended up the first Evolver Spore I ever went to was on shamanism in San Francisco. And you were there and you were presenting about the book that you had just published with your friend.
Was that the Journey book one?
Yeah.
Right. That was with Tim Parrish. Yeah, that was 5 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, right. Good to know. I didn't know that, Magenta.
Yeah, so I've been on this crazy shamanic initiation since then. As some kind of, like, I don't know, galactic, whatever this Evolver thing is. Like, I've been just chewing my way through every societal ill that it is the purpose of this organization to work its way through. And really doing that kind of clearing work on the organization itself. Mm. That's one thing I do is, you know, in a way that some healers work on an individual and will, you know, clear if there's, you know, gunk in their soul pattern or whatever, channel whatever medicine they need to come back to health again. I find that I do that with organizations. So I've really been in like a 4-year crazy process with Evolver, getting it to, you know, clearing out its cobwebs of communication and the organizational dynamics that were needing to fall away, and, you know, holding space for the appropriate new structure and skeleton to fall into place. So that's kind of how I got involved with this
Brilliant.
Whole thing. No, but really... I feel like they're... Go ahead.
Oh, that's great. That's great to think that that's, you know, that's the energetic sort of role that you're playing within the organization. That is very illuminating. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope I'm done with that and we can all just like giggle and tickle each other and laugh now. It's starting to happen more in our group conversations. So maybe the hard part is done and we can play now.
Yeah, excellent. Well, there you go. Maybe we can play now. It's coming together. The global planetary culture is forming and the networks are forming and, you know, the play is upon us. So thank you so much, Magenta. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. And best of luck, not just for you, but for the Evolver Network, of course, as it grows into a robust organization. And I really do encourage everyone to plug in and check out local spores in the area or just join the network and get your info feeds and be illuminated through that portal as well.
Thank you so much, Rak. And I really, really treasure every time I talk with you, just the way that you language things and are present in the space that you're holding and the cultural things that you're producing and cohering and sharing forth through your podcast and such. I really deeply appreciate, yeah, who you are and what you're doing, and you're so beautiful, and it's just every time I hear your voice, it's like hearing the voice of the cosmic heart, and I really appreciate you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Well, you know, the real secret is we're all evolving together. It's not just that one person's evolving. It's that we're all evolving, and that, you know, like a flock of geese or a group mind or a gestalt consciousness, we're all rubbing off and affecting each other. And, you know, it's almost like some bodhisattva type of deal where we can't, any one of us, progress to that next, you know, plateau level unless we all get there together. So I think that's the value, is helping nurture the others and helping information spread and change spread through the information too, because there's no point just having information. You've got to put it into practice, and that way we all evolve together as a species, and that's what it's all about. Thank you, Magenta.
Thank you too.
All right, thank you, listeners. It's been another episode of In a Perfect World. Many blessings. Aloha. Ba-bum-ba-ba.